Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Old age has many challenges. However, for a person that has walked with the Lord for many years, they can recall all that the Lord has done for them over the course of their lives. They know that, even in the midst of a trial, the Lord will never forsake them, because they have experienced His trustworthiness as He brought them through other tough times. Please open your Bible to Psalm 71 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola begins his study.
Psalm 71. John MacArthur, in his study Bible, wrote this. One of the features of the Psalms is that they meet the circumstances of life. This psalm to God expresses the concern of old age. At a time in his life when he thinks he should be exempt from certain kinds of troubles, he once again is personally attacked. Though his enemies conclude that God has abandoned him, the psalmist is confident that God will remain faithful. By God's grace, it's going on 45 years since he saved me. And I can remember reading this psalm when I was 26 years old. Don't do the math. And I thought, man, this poor guy. And then I realized, tonight, I am this poor guy. Psalm 71, the psalmist, we don't know who it is, says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion." And the word confusion there means to shame or to disgrace. "Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man." One thing that you learn as you get older is that life as you get older isn't what you thought it was when you were younger. And one would think that as you get older, that things kind of like lighten up. And that's not true. Especially it's not true if you are an older person who is committed to Jesus Christ in the cruel world that we live in. And what this psalm, there's many things in this psalm that we can draw from. And here's one takeaway, and you know this if you're a senior citizen. Getting older doesn't shelter you from being attacked by people who just don't like you. And the psalmist is experiencing this. And he says here, something that you and I need to realize and never forget. Our only source of strength during such times comes from acknowledging what the psalmist did. "Lord, you're my habitation. You're my rock. You are my fortress." David in Psalm 18 said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." Did you hear all of those "my's"? He doesn't have some kind of vague textbook relationship with God. He says, "You're my God, you're my rock, you're my fortress, you're my deliverer, you're my buckler, you're my strength, you're my high tower." And he says, "I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Here the psalmist says, deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous, out of the hand of the cruel man. The hand in Scripture often signifies power or possession. I've got this mask in my hand, or the hand speaks of power or possession. And thus to be taken out of the hand of the wicked is to be delivered from the power that those verbal attacks can have upon one's heart and mind and emotions. He says, deliver me. There's a battle going on up here. It's intense. It's so wonderful to know in the Bible that Jesus tells us in John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29, I give to my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. So if you are in Christ tonight, you are unpluckable. I don't even know if that's a word, but it sounds good. And the hand of the ungodly, the hand of the unrighteous, the hand of the cruel, you can't stop that from happening. But know this, your times are in the Lord's hand. Remember that. And the psalmist is crying for God's help. He's actually craving God's presence. He mentions three types of people here, the wicked, the unrighteous, and the cruel. The word wicked in the Hebrew really, most of the time, refers to those who are in opposition to God or true faith in God. So whoever this psalmist is, he's being opposed by people who don't acknowledge God. And he's being attacked. Then there's the word unrighteous. That simply means unjust, lawbreakers. And then here's the word cruel. Cruel. I think in about 40 years of ministry, some of the most dangerous people I've ever met are people that, two kinds of people. They're bitter and cruel. Cruel. The word cruel here describes someone who is disposed to inflict pain on others, whether it be verbally, mentally, and sometimes physically. If you want to know how bad this word is, the opposite is merciful. So a cruel person, there's no mercy. You know, the mistake of many young people is that they think that when they get older, the battles of life are going to cease. All of my problems with people are going to be solved. Well, maybe on Mars, but not on planet Earth. That's just not the way it is. But notice the psalmist. There is so much that I love about the Psalms, because they so speak of real life issues. And he says in verse 5 to the Lord, thou art my hope, O Lord God. In other words, Lord, you are the ground of my expectation. You are my trust from my youth. The Hebrew word for trust here means you are my confidence. You are my security. We have a security system at our house, and there's a sign out front, you know, that names the security system. You're secure in Jesus. You are absolutely secure in Jesus Christ. And you know what the word trust means? It's a very, very powerful word. It means to rest all of your weight, shift all of the weight of your cares, your worries, your anxieties upon Him. And the Lord tells us to. He says, cast all your cares upon me, because I care for you. Jeremiah 17:7 says, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Verse 6, By thee have I been holden up or supported from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of thee. The psalmist is remembering how faithful his God has been to him. The psalmist has experienced the faithfulness and the trustworthiness of the Lord throughout his entire life. You know, one of the most precious things for me has always been when I got saved. I just loved being around older saints that had been in the battle. There is just something about older saints that have walked with Jesus. They can say in two sentences what young people can say in 2 hours. There's something so rich about that, so wonderful about that. And here the psalmist is remembering how faithful God has been. And you know, he says, you've held me up. And you and I are here tonight, beloved, as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, because God has held us up. You know that, right? It's not because we are the brightest bunch on planet Earth. It's not because we have greater faith than anyone. God has held us up. We are kept by the power of God, Peter says, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. He's kept us. We thank him for that. Jesus has been with you through every trial, through every storm, hasn't he? And here, this older saint, unnamed, we don't know who he is, but when we get to heaven, if there's such a thing as asking questions, who wrote the 71st Psalm? Can I see you? I'd love to be able to have a conversation with, but I kind of think that when we step into glory and we see what eyes were made for and what ears were made for and what tongues were made for, we're not going to be so concerned about who else is up there or who isn't there. But here's the psalmist, and you know that he's learned this through his whole life, despite the battle, despite the verbal assaults of the people who are simply wicked and cruel. He says, Lord, I'm going to praise you. I'm just going to praise you. Isn't that wonderful counseling? He doesn't have to go see a therapist. He begins to praise God. That's awesome. That is just wonderful, wonderful counsel. Just praise God. Praise him for who he is. He says in verse 7, I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Again, the psalmist was old and he saw his life as a wonder, or really as a testimony to others of all that God had done for him. And he acknowledges that the only reason how he could have withstood all that he's gone through and what he's going through and come out with praise is because of God's faithfulness to him. It was so good to hear us singing together tonight. It's a little taste of heaven, isn't it? Here's the psalmist. What do you do when people are attacking you, slandering you, belittling you? What do? You post something on Facebook. No. You praise. Look at verse 8. This is just so rich. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. The psalmist handled the battle of opposition with prayer and praise. That's the dynamic duo. It's not Batman and Robin. Okay? He handled opposition with prayer and praise. He dropped to his knees and he sang to his God. But he was concerned. You see, because he knew himself. He knew his flesh. He knew how weak his flesh was. And he lived with this concern. He had confidence in God, but no confidence in his flesh. And in verse 9, he says, cast me not off in the time of old age. Oh God, don't let go now. Please don't let go now. Forsake me not when my strength fails. The psalmist's greatest fear was to be forsaken of God. You know, there's a lot of fears that people are dealing with today, right? And that's a lot of fears. You know, the greatest fear that I have, oh God, don't leave me now. God, don't leave me. Don't let me do something stupid. Don't let me be a Demas who forsakes you and loves this present world. Lord, don't. Please, don't. Don't forsake me. Jesus says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. In Isaiah 46, verses 3 and 4, hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. Listen to this, fellow older saints. And even to your old age I am he, and even to your gray hair will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, I will carry and I will deliver you. I never could relate to scriptures about gray hair until I started getting it. And then they kind of like jump out. What a promise. What a promise. What a promise. Even to your old age, I'm he. I am. Never forget that. I am. Not I was. I am. You may be getting older, Raymond, but I'm not. You may be getting weaker, Raymond, but I'm not. I'm not. I am the great I am. And then he says, for my enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him and persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. Now, one of the things about our beloved Savior Jesus is that the Bible tells us that he can relate to our infirmities. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And you would think that someone that was sinless and perfect and holy and gracious, no flaw, pure light, you would think no one would have a problem with him. Really? They crucified him. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I believe if Jesus Christ stepped onto this planet today, it wouldn't take them 3 years. They'd want to get rid of him in 3 days or 3 weeks. You know why? I'll tell you, okay? Because Jesus Christ is not politically correct. He doesn't adapt to the mores of the day. He's the great I am. He doesn't change. Praise God for that. He doesn't change. And we read in the book of Matthew, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and all of the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. So when you're being slandered, when you're being ridiculed, when you're being belittled, when you're being attacked because of your faith in Christ, well, I'm going to share this on Sunday. He promised that you would. He said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. If they despise me, they're going to despise you. So don't try to fit in with the world. You know, I was asked recently, do I believe in aliens? Yeah. But you know what I said? Yeah, I do. I am one. I'm from another kingdom transplanted here on earth. I'm a stranger. I'm a pilgrim. I'm an alien. I am a two-legged UFO. Right here. I am one. Yeah. Hello. We're home. We're home. Yes. Yeah. Amen. This is so good. Yeah. Let's just order like 5 sheet pizzas and stay here all night, you know? Man, okay, let's, okay. I know my precious wife is praying for me. Honey, concentrate, concentrate, concentrate. Look at verse 12. Oh, God, be not far from me. Oh, my God, make haste for my help. Did you ever say, hey, Lord, help me now? Yes. Quick? Yeah. Sure you have. Whenever we find ourselves in serious trouble, I don't know about you, but I feel the need for my Lord as never before. And in those times, it's never been a small comfort to me to realize that He is there. He's always there. He's always there. Verse 13, let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. Now, this is what is known in the Bible as an imprecatory psalm. We can't pray like this. But I know the rascal that you are, but I enjoy reading it. That's not how we are to pray. But the psalmist here calls upon God to cover those who seek His hurt with reproach and dishonor. And the reproach has come because of what? Because of this psalmist's commitment to his God. Not because he was obnoxious. Not because he was rude. Because he simply was godly. You know, when you look at the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are the merciful, and blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, blessed are the pure in heart, and so on and so forth. You would think, wow, that would be a great guy, a great gal. Everybody would love them. No, and then he says, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad because great is your reward in heaven. What? When you live right in a wrong world, when you live godly in an ungodly world, you'll be persecuted without even saying a word. Without even saying a word. You know, it's a sad commentary of the depravity of man to know that there are just some people on this planet who make it their business to judge and hurt others. And yet, that's just the way it is. But in spite of that, verse 14, but I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. You see, in verse 14, we see that as the psalmist grows older, notice something. He's in a battle. He's got adversaries. I'm sure he knows many of them by name. He probably doesn't know as many that he has. You know, you and I may have enemies that we know of. Aren't you glad you don't know everybody? That isn't your that is your enemy. And yet he says he's not focusing. He's not adversary conscious. He's advocate conscious. He looks up and he declares, I will praise you more and more. And in other words, it seems that as the attacks get more intense, he ups the ante. He ups the praise. I'm going to praise you more and more. The Life Application Bible says this. As we face the sunset years, we recognize that God has been our constant help in the past. As physical powers wane, we need God even more. And we realize He is still our constant help. We must never despair. But keep on expecting His help, no matter how severe our limitations. Hope in Him helps us to keep going, to keep serving Him. I will praise you more and more. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless His holy, His wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, helping kids discover their spiritual gifts, and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services, and kids' clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.